Before we open up the word and teach, would you just stand with me now and just bounce right up out of your, seat? And yeah. Jesus was here in the Gospels, and we saw him living and moving and working and healing and raising the dead and teaching parables and doctrines about life. And then he left. And where is he today? And what is he doing? And how does it work? And how does it work in your life? Does Christ really make an effect? Does he affect your life? And how does that happen? So that'll be our theme today, and we just want to praise him for a minute before we start, and just with an attitude of faith, just say to the Lord, Lord, please visit us today with this message, and bless the person next to me, behind me, in Jesus' name. Would you take a minute and have a prayer for your neighbors back home, back, your neighborhood? Pray for your neighbors for a minute. Pray for friends, relatives, people you work with. Just while you're standing, just take a minute and pray with the person next to you for people and God to do things, okay? Lord, we pray for our neighbors, people that live in the house behind us, down the street. We pray for university campuses, Campus Crusade for Christ Navigators, and other ministries that are active. We pray for your spirit to move in the hearts and minds of people. Father, we pray for our policemen on the street in Baltimore. We pray for our government. We pray for our president. We pray for governors, senators, congressmen. We pray for righteousness, Lord. We have found it. We have found it. It's in our hearts. Christ has ascended and sent into our hearts. We have a new heart and a new spirit. And we pray for our young people, teenagers. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, please sweep through and do works in public school, Perry Hall Public School, other schools, Lord. Raise up teachers, servants, churches, pastors, teachers, men and women of God who found Jesus in a personal way. We pray, Father, relatives, stubborn spirits that hold people in stubborn ways, and break the stubbornness and release the captives, and the chains would fall off, and there would be new freedom, new authority, new power for stubborn sins that cling to people because they hold on to the sin, and release them. And do it by your throne ministry, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Where is Jesus Christ? He's at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing there? He has received all power and authority in heaven and earth, and has that authority come to us. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 17, 18, and 19, it says there's a prayer, the prayer of the apostle, that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That we need help in understanding. that we need wisdom and revelation to know what it is that we have. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means that our eyes would somehow be opened. Have you ever been in a dark room where the light's out? Then you flip on the switch. In another way, that Jesus has ascended into heaven and we can't see heaven and his throne. But what if God, while we are on this earth, what if God flipped on the switch and we would see what we have and who we are? What authority do we have? Who are we? What is it that we have in our hearts? I read one writer said that he recalled seeing a movie where an ex-Marine who was in his 80s have been caught in a high crime, and the Navy or Army or Marine military police came to arrest the 80-year-old man and who was involved with some crime. And then a kind of sharp, nasty lawyer that was bringing him to convicting him of his crime. And one of the old man's friends just moved his tie to the side. And there was a Medal of Honor, congressional or military Medal of Honor that he had attained in Iwo Jima in World War II. And the military police, when they saw the medal, like they snapped to attention, and the lawyer also, because though the man was a criminal, he had a past and an identity as a hero. And the hero status kind of eclipsed the dirty picture. And the writer said that this has to do with us, because what we have been brought into is of such high order that whatever we would do in this life cannot change what it is that we have received through Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may not like that. I don't know if you do or not, but I got to tell you, it's powerful. It's deep. Is that Oliver here? Oh, there's Oliver. Amen, Oliver. Let's welcome Oliver's amens. Amen. Oliver, good to see you. Come on. Okay. You know, could somebody turn the switch on in my life? So I'm a Christian, but I'm so beat up by how much I have failed in different areas in the Christian life, or at least I feel, or I don't even know. I just don't know much at all. Could somebody turn the light on and show me? When Jesus said to Mary, "Don't touch me, don't hold on to me, don't try to keep me here, because I'm going to go, and I'm going to be in you wherever you go. And I'm going to be your teacher. And I'm your Christ. And I'm your Savior. And not only am I going to do that for you, but to whoever believes on me through this whole period." Now look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. There it is, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. There's something that happened when God raised him from the dead that has a lot to do with you. Somebody said to me after the morning meeting, 9 o'clock service, they said, it must be that God sees in us something beautiful that we can't even see in ourselves. It must be that God sees in you and me something that cost him his son. And we don't even realize what it is that he sees, but we are made in the image of God, and maybe we don't even know what that really means, that we are made in the image of God. And that when God saw us, he goes, it's going to cost me, but I want it so bad. I want them. I want them so badly. I want their hearts. I want their minds. I want their lives. I want them. I made them in my image. And I'm giving my son. And when he raised his son from the dead, God the Father was so pleased. And what it meant for us, that we're hardly understanding as we live here in our mortal bodies, we hardly understand how much pleasure it brings to God and what it means that we carry his name. Jeremiah 15:16, 16:15. Man, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they are the rejoicing of my heart, because why? Finish the verse. Thank you. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God. I don't know if you, I don't know, I can't get the God, this one. Is it this one? Come on, there we go. God, and then here we are, and I am called by his name. I can hardly write it down. I am called by his name. What's his name? God. I am called by his name, God. You shouldn't even say those words. Has anybody turned the light on and understood what Christ has done for us? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. He has set him at his own right hand, that's verse 20, far above, verse 21, all principality. Far above. I wish I could take something and throw it, like, very high, you know. Far above. How far above? This is only what? This is how far? 8 feet. 10 feet, far above. How about 10,000? How about 10,000 miles? How about 10 million miles? How far above demons and lies? How far above? He has what? Set Christ far above principalities and powers and might. What kind of might? Well, the earth is 70 miles of atmosphere, and then you get beyond out into outer space, and you go to the sun and the stars, solar systems, constellations, and Christ is where? He is far above in geography. He is far above in any kind of power. He is far above every name that is named. Look at the verse with me. It says, verse 21, and dominion and every name that is named. What names? Julius Caesar, George Washington, Joan of Arc, Martin Luther, Albert Einstein, William Shakespeare. What names? Company names, Microsoft, Toyota, Volvo, Mercedes. What names? Mountains, rivers. What names? All those names. What names? He is far above and beyond everything Even the word death, the word loneliness and emptiness and sin and pornography and child abuse and murder and rape and fire above bondages and chains and prisons and demons, fire above unbelief and fear, far above everything that could be named, every psychological disorder, every drug, like every opioid or fentanyl or whatever it is, what name could there be that could be greater than this name, that is far above all principality and power and every name that is named in this world and that which is to come? What does it mean for me? It means a lot. We'll try to explain it. It means a lot. Because Jesus was on the earth, but he went to heaven for us, to give us a ministry, the throne ministry of Christ. A ministry from a throne that has all the authority and the power in heaven that ever could be and ever will be, this ministry of Christ. Ministry of Christ, that's a good word. Ministry of Christ. It means it's from God to us. Sometimes it's very gentle. I read a little missionary story about I can tell a personal story. I was in the mountains in Central Asia, and one man had driven for 12 hours or a long way over mountain ranges to meet me. And he had in his pocket a folded up some papers, like 8x11 pages that were folded up into a little booklet. And he said, this is your message translated into Russian language. And I read this in my village. And I drove here to meet you. I go, what is the message? He gave me the title of it and that one of our Russian brothers had printed it and given it out. And he said, this message, this helps me. This spoke to me. It spoke to my heart. It moved me to get in my car and drive here to tell you, to meet you. One time, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, I was on a bus, and I believe it was in Botswana. I was taking the bus to Zambia, and the bus was filled with people, and everybody was quiet. It was early morning, and it left the bus station soon. The driver put in a cassette tape, and Pastor Ronaldo was on the bus, and he heard Dr. Stevens' voice, and it was Throne Words. And everybody on the bus is listening. He said it was dead silent for 40 minutes as this message, Throne Words, was heard on the bus. And Pastor Ronaldo was really the only one on the bus that knew who the preacher was. You know, many of our people that have left here with their Bible in their hearts, let's make the 3 points today here. Here's Jesus' earthly ministry, and he goes to the cross. But he had hardly started. He always had a ministry. He was always in heaven with the Father. But when he came here, he wanted to show us something. We could touch his kindness, his tenderness. We could touch his heart. We could listen to him, and the Spirit was using him. But he was only here to be a living, holy, acceptable sacrifice on our behalf. And he did this part, but it's not the end. He ascended, and he's there. We could say this is his ministry to us as we are living here on the earth, and we are believers. And through all of history, all over the world, there has been this ministry of the throne. What does it mean? Well, number one, Jesus says, number one, here is Christ, and we have this authority in heaven. And number one, he said he would the Father send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come into you. I want you to be able to say in your heart, I know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He ministers to me as an advocate. Remember we had that message the other day, 2 weeks ago maybe, that he is the advocate. He is not just a hand-holding comforter, but he is your the one that gives you firm guidance, the one that teaches you with authority, the one that leads you in godliness, that he's the advocate like a good coach that won the Super Bowl. Wasn't it Andy Reid? Or any of these NFL coaches, they got to be guys that know what they're doing, and they have to have authority, and they have to be able to say, and if they got a player that's off, they got to sit them down, they got to talk to them, and they got to be their coach and their counselor and their advocate. Same with the Holy Spirit. I need him to teach me. I am a fool, and I need your wisdom. I can't do it. But you can do it. You can fill me. You can teach me to love. You can teach me truth and put it in my heart so that I love God and his ways are better than the ways of the world. 400 false prophets, 400 false TV shows and 400 celebrities and 400 Hollywood actors and 400 professors. But I've been there. I know what the 400 are saying. Is there another one? Speak to me from Christ. Number two, he gives us words from the throne. Words from the throne. Words from the Bible, words of truth, words of life, words settled in heaven, words that'll never change. Isn't it fun that the words that I hear today, that a billion years from now in heaven, God would be saying the same kind of word, same words, same message? Isn't it amazing that, and we get no credit for it, we're saying Jesus does that. It's his ministry to us. That this is not a denomination. It could be, but if it was, I want the throne ministry. If it's non-denominational, that's fine. That's not my point. My point is tradition and the church is precious, but I want it to be fresh. When we have a water baptism, which is the tradition of the church, two traditions we hold, water baptism and Holy Communion. But we also have actually the teaching of the Word of God, and we have evangelism, and we have missions. These are the traditions of the church throughout history. But how can any of that happen without the throne ministry of Christ? If we don't have the throne ministry, then we'll just be another group of people that's like human beings getting along or sentimental or fighting or self-opinionated or disappointed or hurt or grieved or troubled or quiet or withdrawn or passive or negative without any gifts. The third one is the body. The throne ministry is the ministry of the body of Christ with the gifts of the Spirit in the body. I want to close with our message from the book of Acts. Please to turn to Acts chapter 6. realized this story in this context last night. And it's funny, it's interesting how we get messages and we think about these things and how the Spirit is faithful and helping us understand our Bible. And what I understood here was that Stephen was in a lot of trouble. Stephen also was gifted. In chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." Who was Stephen? A deacon. He was not a pastor. He was a helper. Maybe you could say a Sunday school teacher, usher, brother in the church, not the head of the church, just a brother who was wise and Spirit-filled. He was a Christian in Jerusalem, but he was in a very difficult place here. He is resisted. He is hated, and he's going to be killed. He is going to be martyred. Why would they martyr Stephen? Because the devil is a murderer. And maybe if Stephen has a gift and the Spirit is filling him and he has wisdom and he's just like calm and wise and effective and loving and ministering, that he's influencing people, then maybe he's the guy that we want to get rid of. So they went to their evil work of slander. Verse 12. "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law.'" By the way, Franklin Graham, who took over Billy Graham's ministry, has a preaching schedule in the UK this spring. And they had all the cities set up and the stadiums, and he was going to do a tour. But the LGBT folks over there in the UK shut him down. And that you are a bigot, you are a right-wing religious nut, fanatic, right-wing. You are an evil man. You are against homosexuals and lesbians and so on. And so he sent out an email asking us to pray for him that God would turn it around. But I want to say this to you because I don't know all of you. But I want to say something to you very personally and importantly. Be careful in the world that you live in, which side of history you are on. No, what side of eternity are you on? What side, where in the kingdom are you on? Will you also attack other brothers and sisters with the same mind? That we are also bigoted and narrow-minded and judgmental, and we are against these people this way and that way? We are against sin. No doubt about it. We preach about it all the time. We are against sin. We love people. And we ourselves are no different from others and being sinners. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, we love what? Hebrews 1:8, we love righteousness. You will get killed if you love righteousness in this story. And it relates to us too. Loving righteousness. Well, what about adultery? Adultery is sin too. And what about that? That's sin. Well, you don't love people? It's like, yeah, we love people, but we love righteousness. Loving righteousness and hating iniquity like Jesus Christ did and does. And his ministry is not one of compromise. I met a neighbor in one neighborhood, and he said, have you driven by the church that has the rainbow flag out in front of it? The Presbyterian church that now has a rainbow flag. I go, yeah, I have. I wouldn't have brought it up, but he said, I bring it up because my kids used to go to that church, but now they don't go there, and I will never go there. I will not go there. Churches are going to lose people, and people will have no church to go to. Where is the message? Where is the ministry? It has become politics. It has become natural preference. It has become human beings. And look at our little list up here. What does it say? The ministry of the throne is the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And if the Word of God could just come alive to me, if the Bible could come alive in my spirit, and I can feel the authority of God. And this happened to Stephen in the story. Look at it with me. It says they got false witnesses, verse 13. Why did you have to get false witnesses? Because we couldn't find any true witnesses. Why did you have to get false ones? Because we had to make it up. We had to catch him somehow. We had to invent the story. We had to slander him. We had to mislead people. We had to deceive people in order to kill him. I thought he was a great guy. Yeah, he's a great guy, but we can't have him around. Wow. Look at verse 13. This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And by the way, there is a measure of truth in that. That Jesus would change the customs, and he did. That the temple wasn't that important anymore. And that happened. And Moses was not the primary leader of our religion. Christ is. So there is a change. There is some measure. But the problem of it all is that they're using it to kill him. But look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face, it had been the face of an angel. And all I want to say is, where did the angelic face come from? Where did it come from? When he's sitting there and he looks like an angel, where? Stephen, you're going to, they're saying this and this and this. Like, Stephen, where did the angelic face come from? You know where? The throne ministry. Jesus was with Stephen. Yeah, well, what do you mean? Well, these people don't mean much at all in the light of that throne. It's all under his feet. He's far above all of it. Let them do their foolishness. He will die. Stephen will die. But it says here, his face was like an angel. And then when Stephen started to speak, and if you would take this afternoon and read Acts chapter 7, you see his brilliant message as he fluidly, historically covers the Jewish nation from the beginning up to the present. And he's doing this because God is speaking by, number two, the words of the Bible. And there's a man there watching the whole thing happen, and his name is Saul. And he later becomes known as Paul. And when he's standing there, we don't have a record of it, but it may be that this man who is looking like an angel and sounding so wise had a throne ministry in the presence of death and the devils. In martyrdom. And this man, Saul, later becomes a believer and undoubtedly remembered Stephen, and maybe even remembered his message. And he knew later who Jesus Christ was. And I just want to say, don't underestimate the value of your life. Whatever you do in the name of a disciple, you bring a glass of water to somebody in the name of a disciple, you don't lose your reward. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do to the glory of God. And I also hope that there are times in your life when you also will somehow shine like an angel. And in your heart, you will know that this is a ministry from God. This particular assembly, this body of Christ, is an extension of God in a dark world. Here we are. Here we are. The body is the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 1:23, we are a mystery on the earth in the presence of a lot of crazy things that are going on. Have you seen it lately? Have you seen the murders in the news? Have you seen the politics in Washington? Have you seen the hatred in human hearts? Have you seen the division that is in the hearts of men and the confusion? Have you seen a little boy saying, going to school and saying, I'm a girl, and the authorities in the school agreeing that that little boy, his name is Mary now? Yeah. No, I didn't make that up. That's real. Have our leaders lost their mind? Have they lost their common sense? Have the public school system, it's a shame to our sense of what is righteous and what is not. Come on, don't be ridiculous with the world. Have something going on from the throne of God. And the throne of God will say, no. Hey, we used to live in a communist country. And the people knew. And I asked sometimes the Hungarians, I'd say, when did you realize the government was lying to you? They said, when I was 14, when I was 16, when I was 12, when I realized it. I was a teenager when I realized it. And I'm going to ask you, do you ever know that somebody is lying to you? Do you ever know that somebody in the hair shop, the hair salon, or in the military barracks, or in the locker room at college, or at a sports team somewhere, that those guys that are talking garbage? Have you discerned or recognized that what the world is saying is different from what the throne of God is saying? You know what? I am afraid. I am. I'm afraid. Many believers, they sing a lot, but how much do they understand? A lot of believers say they may read the Bible every once in a while. They kind of read it like this. I'm in trouble. Oh, God, help me. And it says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. I better get another one. Believers that read the Bible that way have not yet discovered the most amazing way of learning and growing in the faith. I need a pastor teacher. I need an open Bible. I need a prayer meeting. I need my brothers and sisters loving me. And I need the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life through the body of Christ. Thank you, body. Thank you, Jesus. Here, we'll close. Imagine that from this church in the last 50 years, people have gone to these countries with this, by grace, by humility. Many times we went, we didn't know what we were doing. But as we went, we found God was with us. And we take another step, it was God was with us, and something happened. As somebody would look at you and just say, thank you for coming. I would not know about Jesus Christ unless you came. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying for my mother because she got healed. Thank you for the Bible cause that I could raise my son because I learned something that I could give to my son or my daughter. Thank you for telling me that was wrong. I didn't know that was wrong until you said that was wrong. And then I said amen in my heart and the Spirit of God filled me and I understood that is wrong and this is right. Hallelujah. That's an amazing thing to see happen. in your life, in my life, let us walk on in God's will for us with a ministry that comes not from our own hearts, but comes from Jesus Christ through us in this world. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Praise God. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. I remember the story of a pregnant teenager, and we said, you got to have the baby. She said, but how will I take care of it? We said, we'll help you. And we didn't just say it, but we really did. We got an apartment for her. We didn't do it, but people helped us, and some of that happened, and we helped them. We don't believe in abortion, but at the same time, their responsibility comes and falls, and we want to be helpful and help us and help people do the right thing. And if we have failed and done the wrong thing, that God knows, and we confess that, we admit it, we're not guilty, He forgives us, and it's forgotten. And it's gone. It's forgotten. Lord, maybe somebody listening this morning is crying out in their heart for you. And please save them by your grace. And as they say, you will do that. And all they say is yes to Jesus Christ by faith. And then make it good. I mean, walk in it. I mean, believe Him. Not just today, but every day. Walk by faith in Him. He will show you. You will have doubts. The devil will lie to you in the atmosphere, projections. But walk by faith and overcome the devil by faith. Also yourself by faith. Jesus will minister to you. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Then raise your hand. Anyone in the auditorium saying that prayer? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. First time, anyone at all? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. If you do it, you are born again. You're a child of God. Repent of your own ways. That just means that you're saying in your heart, I'm finished. I'm finished. I'm fed up with the whole thing about me. I want to find you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to turn. I'm going to ask God to help me and lead me. Anyone? In Jesus' name. Amen.